Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode.
The Open debut is finally here. And the package we've all been waiting for in the Open John Jewett physique to come to stage. And we've all been excited and waiting for this moment to happen because we know John has to pull down to 212, and just excited to hear some thoughts on like what that's going to look like, John, and how are you feeling kind of headed into peak week?
Well, you know, with peak week, it's, or just prep in general, it's a up and down day by day and also just within the day of different feelings. So
yeah,
like this morning, like we were just talking, like there's all this work stuff to do and chores to do, and it just has me on edge, like I'm, you know. So but then I have days where I've been feeling like phenomenal. But putting that aside, it's extremely exciting to do this open show, because coming out of Atlanta, the open has been on my mind for a long time, since I first even turned pro. Mm-hmm. It just never kind of came to fruition, just with a number of factors around that. But I always wanted to do it. And this year I was like, I'm going to do an open show, which it was, you know, sucked down to 212. Then I could hit an open show after, feed back up into it. And it just so happened, like Legion was a nice timeline before the Olympia, gave me some time to eat, train. And now seeing where the look is, I'm like, wow, I've never seen my body look like this. As far as the fullness out of the front shots that have been gained is tremendous. Like the areas where I'm told like you need to work on, you know, rounder shoulders and chest, and that all has like come to life. My legs, sucking down to 212, my legs start to kind of fade, and now they have this fullness to them that's holding, which is really awesome to see. And I'm crazy sharp, which is at this body weight, I've just never been there. It's truly need to land on stage, but I think it is the best version of myself.
So let's set the stage for the audience a bit here. Where is body weight and the caloric intake, and kind of where are we headed into peak week? Because I know it's a pretty significant difference relative to the Atlanta peak of like where you're headed into peak week right now versus the suck down version for 212.
Yeah, it is quite different. So like 7 days out, I was having to pull food down. I don't have to go really low in food, but I do keep my steps up pretty high. So it was like 15,000 steps a day, hitting like 200 grams of carbs. Fats were like around 40 grams, mm-hmm. and protein's not too different. I think it was like at 300 grams of protein. Non-train days, pull like 50 grams of carbs off. It was closer to like a maintenance level that would kind of hold my weight. Mm. And then that also, that 7 days out, there's like PED changes that need to take place that don't need to take place now. We can dive into that piece, but just the nutrition side and output side first, I guess.
Yeah.
So having that approach going into peak week starts to pull me down. And going into Atlanta, like I was around 214, 215 before I needed to really like, you know, pull down to get below 212 to weigh in the evening.
Yep.
And so now we're now within this peak week, and the baseline diet is 330 grams of carbs. So another 130 grams of carbohydrate, protein relatively same, 330 grams of protein, and fats are a little higher, like 55 grams of fats. Non-training days, it's like around 200 grams of carbs. That's the only difference. So just another like 130 gram carb bump for when I do train, and just 12,000 steps per day, which is extremely manageable. Like it's, I could probably need to go a little lower once I get into peak week and taper that down. Cause it's still, once I've been posing, it weighs in my legs a bit more, but definitely a lot more food. And what I will say is that food amount slowly will keep pulling my body weight down, which I'm okay with, just so I can kind of set the stage to hit like the carb load that I want to, for to load up for this open show. So yeah, overall, like, lower output and a lot higher food going into this week.
So what's the current
body, but yeah, but current body weight wise, you asked me, but I forgot. Yeah. So I'll wake up and it's been fluctuating. 222.6 has been my low, and then I'll float up to like 223 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm like really assessing and have like kind of a good balance look around everything, it's a couple pounds above that. So, you know, 225 to 226. And we haven't got to the point of, you know, adjusting fiber and things like that. So,
right.
And, or carbing up. So it might be an even exchange of like, you drop fiber, but you carb up. So, you know, stage weight wise, we'll see what it is. Doesn't quite matter at this point, but again, we might land somewhere in that lower 220 area.
Yeah, which is on the low end, that's an 8 pound difference, right? Between 222 and 214. And just kind of headed into peak week, there's a lot of doors that stay open for you when it comes to running the peak, because obviously no weight cap, and we don't have the limitations of 212 or really needing to suck down. And I guess the first place to start would be, we understand some of the areas that you described pull down your physique, as far as like delts, chest, legs kind of coming down quite a bit. But the limitations that 212s provide across peak week, we ran through in depth the Atlanta Pro Peak, which we did in a different podcast if you guys want to check out, and kind of that process of making sure you were 211-ish by Monday, and what that looked like. And then not having to do that as like a limit or something that's not going to be a limitation and forcing your hand a bit. How is that front end portion of the week going to look a little bit different? Because, you know, now we don't have to have a weight cap that's going to be pulled down, and it kind of really limits you on how you carb load. Like, there's only one option. It's backloading or bust, right? So what's going through your head in regards to like how that may look different, or what you're thinking? You kind of alluded to potentially letting weight drip down a bit, but go ahead and start to dive into that for us a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely a different, because what sets up the peak week is the what you do the week before peak week. Mm-hmm. So are you peaked before peak week? Are you not? Assessing all the environment around the competitor leads you to what kind of makes the decisions of what needs to happen going in the week for me. So like comparatively, like for Atlanta, right? There's a high step count. There's low food amount. There's depletion that needs to happen. There's also a training volume that's at rock bottom, to where, because recovery is a true issue around that state. My legs were very, very fatigued going into peak week. So there's a much higher degree of fatigue. There's also a more of a depleted physique going into that week as well. So a few things that have to be addressed. For one, well, you just have to keep body weight down. There's no way around it. Then there's also the addressing of fatigue. How do you reduce step count, bring some life back into where you can drop that fatigue off? While the situation now is that, for one, I haven't had to reduce training volume at all during this entire 10-week phase. While like going into 212, like recovery starts dropping, I have to start pulling back volume just to try to uphold performance and that quality and train within my recovery. While this past week before, I'm still seeing like improvements in load and reps. So, which is so fun. It's such one, just the psychological, it's a much funner prep, for one.
Yeah.
But then also, I'm not heading into peak week with as much fatigue to drop.
Yeah.
And so for the weight class athlete, that is a consideration, because if you drop fatigue, you should be able to drop some body weight.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't really matter for open. It's just a factor that, hey, you're not having a physique that is as fatigued, that is as depleted. So when you're assessing what needs to happen, it's like, well, there's a manageable amount of fatigue already. Maybe just a little bit of lowering steps, but that doesn't really a factor now. What really is the factor is, well, how depleted are you relative to 212? And I'm not that depleted. So the carb load could be probably the same. And I say the same because you have the opportunity now to feed more with a bigger window. However, I'm coming from a hole that's a little already filled in.
Yeah.
So like for 212, like you're digging the hole deep, you're digging out all the glycogen, all the water, and you got to like fill this hole back in with a lot.
Yeah.
But right now, like, my hole's already filled up some by already having some food in place and not being so depleted. So that carb load is not going to be as aggressive. And that's where I can also have the ability to start it earlier and gauge what that is. So for 212, there's only one time you have to carb up, and that is after you make weight. That is priority. So it's a could be a very short window. Luckily, Atlanta gave me some insight to having a larger window, right? 36 hours before I had to get on stage. Now, the feedback around that show was like, by finals, I started really getting the best look, which I probably started getting a little harder and able to shift some water from that carb load. So that in mind, you kind of want to shift that timeline back, which for an open bodybuilder, you could start, depending on how much carb load you need, you could start a carb load 3 days out, hit it again 2 days out if you need to, then 1 day out, you now have that opportunity to bring food back down to baseline. Say you got, oh, I got a little bit too watery. You could come back to like a lower food diet. Mm-hmm. Say it's still not enough. Well, you could just keep going. So now you have a lot of opportunity to have a longer assessment period and time to just adjust for variables needed that might have what you previously did the day before, the carb load might have like skewed your look a little bit. So that's at least how that changes nutrition wise and fatigue management wise for this open versus 212. I relatively probably would do the same thing with like step count. Like once I get down to like 8,000 to 10,000 steps, like that's nothing, you know? So some point I'm going to drop those 2,000 steps off and just keep moving, 'cause it really aids digestion. But other than that, not much needs to change. Just how, when I'll start the carb load and having more days to assess for that carb load as well.
Yeah. And I'm interested in the psychological component real quick, 'cause I have some follow-ups on some of the details of that loading, but, how much do you think not having to psychologically dig into 212 will help the process of running that peak? Because we all know you run your own peaks. You have people you ask opinions of, but it's something that you're kind of going through the process yourself and accurately assessing and objectively assessing what needs to happen. That can be a psychological strain within the peaking process as well. And for me, I feel like it would be just this further confirmation that you don't have any question marks going in because you're not running a 36-hour window, and kind of like how that may potentially help some as well, because I've seen a couple peaks over the years where psychological stress, for whatever the client's reason was, kind of almost ruin a peak. And I think it, while it might not be too detrimental for you, obviously Atlanta looked phenomenal, I still think that can contribute some. And just kind of touch on that quick before we get into some of the deloads or the details of the backload or the questions that I have with the loading.
Yeah, I mean, with anything going into peak week, I mean, perspective is everything. And that can set the stage for how you're going to have the mindset your entire peak week. And of course, self-coaching is another thing in and of itself. For 212, it's easier and harder. And that's an oxymoron that makes no sense. It's easier in the fact that I've done it so many times that I know I'm confident in what needs to happen. It's harder in the fact that just physically it's harder.
Yeah.
It's taxing to be down there. Having done it and now seeing a better version of myself, and we'll probably touch on this later, I don't ever want to do it again. I have zero motivation to ever cut down to 212. Feeling that taxing level and what it does to my physique versus now, that's another aspect. But that's also a confidence booster too. So 212, it's easier and harder for those reasons.
Yeah.
With open, it's also easier and harder. The easier part is that there is less fatigue.
Yeah.
There is more opportunities to adjust. It's harder because it is slightly new territory for me. And there's also not necessarily a ceiling there for how high do you want to push food? And what does that do to the look? There's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
Which, what variable do you want to play on now? Do you want to make sure you're like super conditioned and you don't try to get too full? Do you want to push a little bit of more fullness? So it could get in your head. And when you're trying to find that best look of what you land on stage, making sure you're just gauging off yourself and finding what is the best, looking at pictures and trying to be objective, using that second eye, and not trying to get in your head. Cause it's really easy to look at, for one, other competitors and who's showing up. So that's the other psychological aspect around it that will affect anyone at any stage. I remember my first USAs that I did, I was on Instagram, like looking up all the guys that had been top five last year, all the guys that were maybe prepping for the show, how I might compare. And then it gave me a really big wake up call. Cause I got to the show and guys that I thought were going to be in this top five mix were like third call out. And then some other guys showed up that I never even heard of that was in the mix. So it's like, man, they're just pointless to follow IG. And also like, what we see now too is Instagram pictures do not translate to what you're going to see on stage with someone. And there's a lot of people that are taking the highlight reel of life of all their posing. Mm-hmm. So you just have to completely negate that and keep the perspective that you come to the show, like bringing your all time best. And that's a confidence booster for me. And also it's, slightly like keeping the perspective too of that this is an open debut, right? Yes, I am a decent 212 competitor. Is there a pressure there? I don't think so, because it's just seeing how you fare, and it just sets the stage of where you need to go next. Kind of like a pro debut, right?
Yeah.
Assess where you're at, you go from there. Other people might put pressures on you, but you just have to focus on, you know, what you want out of this for yourself. And for me, it is to land the best version of John on stage. And if I do that, that's a successful show. If that means I'm in the second call out, well, damn, that really sucks. If that means I win the show, absolutely, that's phenomenal. But either way, it comes down to being that best John and knowing that I beat every other version to where what I'm doing along this whole bodybuilding journey is improving. And that's why I do it to begin with. Probably why a lot of us do it is to see gym improvements, see muscle gain, and be a bodybuilder.
Yeah, I think we both knew there was a gap between your best and 212. Like, what is the best John look versus what the 212 John look is, right? I just think it's pretty wild the difference between what you're seeing now from visuals at that like 222, 223, 224 mark. And like just that fasted look versus like even in gym 225, 226, and just that amount of scale weight difference that's there is pretty wild. Which brings me to my next question with the loading is, you know, we don't have a weight cap. So food selections and using foods for carbohydrate loads is a topic that's open for discussion for multiple reasons. One, you don't have to overly obsess over dropping weight. So like we don't have to obsess over like fiber drops too much if they're not affecting GI from like a control perspective. You probably will want to drop some just from like a midsection control perspective. But two, you're not having to shove as much food into a little window. So is there going to be the same food changes and volume changes that you made with the 212 peak? Or because it's spread out a little bit and potentially you're going to have more time to kind of let this go through from a multiple days perspective, it's not going to change too much from the baseline diet because of that.
You did bring up something before this, and I think there's a lot of 212 guys out there that make the same jump into an open show the same year that they've done 212, which I am very surprised that having done a 212 show and then how quickly I now look like an open bodybuilder, and there's like almost
it's wild.
Would be hard to get. I don't know. It would be a huge sacrifice to get a 212. There's some guys that aren't at that position. I didn't think I really was at that position, but evidently I am. Some guys need that full off season to really translate from 212 to open and be, you know, competitive. But a lot of guys too just bring a softer version of their 212 self.
Yeah.
And that's just not the card to play, because there's William Martin is coming to this show, right? He's like over 300 pounds or something. So my 5 pounds of stage weight in sacrifice of that 5 pounds in condition is not my card to play, right? So, but I would say it has kind of surprised me how much improvement I made just from within the same year of competing as 212. Now, as far as, you know, the question around food. So I will say that once sucking down to 212, that my waist seems to really get a lot smaller. Mm. Not a lot smaller. It takes more to control it at this body weight. And I will say that I just haven't also made all the food adjustments. My food's higher now too, so the volume is at a larger amount. But I still, like, for race control purposes, going on stage, having a small waist that you can pull in and it's easy to pose is psychologically great, but also physically it's far less taxing posing. Mm-hmm. Because trying to hold your waist as tight as humanly possible, because I've been there when, like, your hardest vacuum you've ever hit in your life is just a flat stomach. It's not very confidence inspiring. And once you get really, really big, that's kind of how it is. Like, when you look back at, like, Ronnie and Jay, right, they were just like, their vacuum is a flat stomach. And yeah, eventually that kind of becomes to where it's just, you're kind of rounded out belly. So it's extremely important, as, like, that was a really strong point for me in 212, is excellent waist control and having those last adjustments where I fully do pull out fiber from vegetable sources, from any fibrous starches that I was using, like oats, makes a really big difference. Mm. Yes, the scale weight drops, but it's all GI weight. And so I still, off my previous data, would go that route. So it's still going to move to where, and whey works really good for me, so I'm not having to eat a lot of, like, meat sources. Mm-hmm. But it'll be a mix of probably, like, shredded chicken and whey and rice as a basis, just actual Thai jasmine rice with dried dates worked really well from being a very dense carbohydrate source. Mm-hmm. So I could still keep food volume really small. And then having a little bit of fats, like I had some almond butter in there that just kept a baseline of fats that I've had in my diet throughout. So relatively, I would use the same food choices because I know that can bring my waist very, very small. The actual food volumes, though, would probably be a lot less, just because for the 212 show, I was having like 120 gram carb meals. That can probably scale back. I'll probably use that first day as a gauge of where I need to go. Mm. And then I can adjust it on the second day. But I already know now, like, even when I had, you know, I have days where my weight pulls down eating this food amount and I add in another 100, 150 gram of carbohydrates, my weight the next day bumps up, you know, 1.5 pounds. So I just know, like, I'm not going to have a huge carb amount like I did for Atlanta, like I would now. So coming from 330 grams of carbs, that first day might look like 500 grams of carbs. Then the second day I might hit it higher or lower or maintain it. So the first day could just be a good gauge for me. But I already know, like, I walk in the gym now, two meals and you know, about a gallon of fluid, and I could almost, I nearly could just walk on stage like that. So I know, based around that I don't need this huge, huge carb load to take place. The nice thing about carb loading is that the day of the show, you no longer have to have that same food amount to maintain that load. So you can keep food really low on show day by hitting carb load. Cause some people could make a point of, like, well, just keep eating the same things and just walk out on stage. And absolutely could do that. I've done stuff like that before, but if you are a little bit more carved up in the morning and you kind of wake up and you're really close to what you want to put on stage, the maintenance food and maintenance fluid is really, really low. Mm-hmm. And that can keep your waist super tight doing so, which, again, it goes back to making sure, like, we're looking at that V taper and the aesthetics around what that brings.
And you've already alluded to this, but I think kind of detailing this out in a way that's understandable from a coaching perspective could really help is, you know, the tank is already a little bit fuller than it was for 212 because you're not having to dig that hole. So you're more responsive to the food coming in because you're loading from a better state. But also, one of the things that you're going to be able to do is you can pretty much guarantee that, and just to use numbers for numbers' sakes, like, if 226 is the look that you decide is the favorite look, instead of waking up all the way at 221 or 222, you could have yourself waking up at like 224, 225, where now you're just drip feeding that food in on show day relative to where you're on stage. And then that would kind of make the decision on how high you wake up that morning and what you're doing with the days before. And I kind of wanted, this is going to be a little bit more of an anecdotal observation, but you've alluded to this and seeing like that process actually allowing for someone to harden out quite a bit better because they're loading out a little bit further and then actually coming on to stage with a little bit lower of a food maintenance amount, which you stated kind of happened across show day at Atlanta. So just kind of touching on how that may even change like your air quote best visual for prejudging and what that may look like.
Yeah. Like with Atlanta, you know, I knew after, you know, my two meals and I would have, I have to look back now on my notes, what I had. I think I ended up having, I don't know, 60, 80 ounces of fluids before going out on stage. But then after that, after I was got up to my like 214, 215 body weight, because I had to pull it back up the rest of the day, I kept food amount about the same for the carbs, but water just came down a lot. So that was doing 16 to 20 ounces between my meals. And that's where that look just started to shift to where it seemed like I was holding body weight, but there was some type of like improved hardness that was happening. Or, you know, I don't like to allude to the fact of like, we're shifting these fluid compartments drastically, but regardless, the look improved. And so there's something to be said about, you know, keeping fluids a little lower and continuing to feed. And so I can make that happen. And it depends on when you're getting on stage, right? So with this show, like we start at 9:30 a.m. and we're about the second division from the end, which this is a master show. So you have all the master's classes to go through. That might mean we're could be on stage by 12 p.m. maybe. And so I have some time. So that could be if I'm waking up close to that, you know, that stage look, is that just fluids just stay low and I keep feeding. And trying to replicate that finals look that I had for Atlanta. Again, the main thing here is that you operate within a window of flexibility. Because if you try to do such drastic manipulations that window really narrows on you and the look is so fleeting that you miss it, you could go on stage looking really off. This is the case when you have guys where they're doing like, whatever it could be, diuretics, and then they're trying to bring back fluids and nail this look right. And they have a moment where they look right on, and then who knows, the show goes a little longer than expected. They're in a huge lineup, and it takes 45 minutes to go through your posing routines and all that. And then you start fading. And so you do not want to make too much manipulation, especially along the dehydration lines, to where you have that shift, body weight starts dropping down, you start getting too dehydrated, you get flat. Or it's the opposite, right? Like you're so full, it just takes you forever to just try to harden back up. So, you know, looking at my current physique, like from when I wake up to the time I go to bed, there's a pretty wide variety that I can walk on stage with and still look very conditioned. And so it's a part of the assessment of what I've done. So I know I have a good range to work with, that it won't get too distorted if I start making some little bit of water adjustments, right? Yeah. For some guys, it just has to take place. But for the guys like myself that they can come in like grainy hard, we have a lot more flexibility to be able to feed and put fluids in and not have that look skewed. But it's the guys that struggle with getting conditioned where it has to be really tightly regulated.
Would you say the 212 guys struggle a bit more with the last minute alterations, air quote, backfiring on them versus the open guys because of having to get down to that weight a little bit more aggressively? And then it's just like diuretic used to get down there and then trying to rehydrate, and it's just bigger, more of a moving target versus some of the open guys? Or would you say because, you know, we're dealing with more tissue and larger individuals who could potentially miss the mark from getting all the way in show condition, that you're seeing that kind of backfire on the open guys more often than 10-212?
Yeah, it is, you know, I don't know. That's like a study in itself, right?
Yeah.
I don't know every situation. You see a lot more open guys just not coming conditioned.
Yeah.
And I think with that, it is trying to chase size. And so when you have some guy with that, and potentially like there's more PED usage there, mm-hmm. maybe not always. I know I talked to some top five Olympia guys and they're using far less than even classic or men's physique guys. you would be shocked. But however, sometimes that can skew visuals mm-hmm. in the last peak week. It's like, well, let's get this water off. And it turns out it wasn't water, it was body fat. And so using higher amounts of PDs or growth hormone could be skewing the assessment. And so you see guys missing the mark because of that. Mm-hmm. And then you're using like diuretics and things to try to make up for what should have just been taken off body fat. With 212, I don't see the body fat issue as much. Don't get me wrong. You start looking towards the second, third call out, guys still aren't in shape. However, with 212, you have to get down to a weight. So usually you're pulling every bit of body fat off. At the top guys, it seems like they know better to not use diuretics to get down to
212
to their weight class. It's usually like they still just don't have the timeline to fill back out. Mm-hmm. I think that's more of the detriment. So you see more of those guys come flat just because they're not putting usually maybe not on the fluids back in. I think people get really scared of fluids. But I think with the open bodybuilders, it's another issue of just not dieting as all the way down, and also PEDs more so skewing the look than what you might see with a 212 guy that isn't able to even push the PED side of things. And one thing, like I know from my own self and talking to all these other pros, is like growth hormone seems to be a big factor in differentiating between these different divisions, depending on where you're at. If you're a guy that's really struggling to make weight, like you just are running low gear because you almost need to lose muscle to get down or just maintain it, right? Anything that's retaining water is at a bare minimum. Like for 212, you know, I have to keep growth hormone like two to three IUs. And then the last weeks, it's just pulled out because the weight just has to go down. Now coming into the open show, escalating growth hormone up on a peak week has been a game changer for my physique to where I am full and just as hard, and that's how it impacts me. And a lot of open guys you talk to run high amounts of growth hormone from 6 to 10 IUs, and that can drastically bring out a lot of fullness. However, for some guys, it just keeps them watery, and that could be part of the issue. So that is one aspect around like prepping that would be different, at least PED wise, 212 versus open, and how it could differentiate of what, why guys are missing the mark for different reasons.
Well, you brought it up, so let's touch it real quick. What's the strategy change for you? Are you going to keep growth hormone in all the way through? And
yeah, so
go ahead.
Sure. So having where it's been at, you know, you just, with any PED regimen, and you know, everyone's always asking like, when should I drop out this XYZ? When should I add in XYZ? You know, and these are the wrong questions to ask. The first question is, what is the needs of your athlete based on your assessment? That's what you start with. So if you were to look at myself 7 days out, 10 days out, whatever it is, you know, how does that look and where do we need to take it to be stage ready? You know, is it fat loss? Is there fullness needs? Is there water manipulation that needs to take place? That is what's going to guide those changes around PEDs. You don't have just a set protocol you throw at everybody because that's lacking an assessment for what that individual needs, right? So for myself, you know, going in and having my current regimen and my current growth hormone in place, I could walk on stage like this. Like my glute lines are deeper than ever. Like I'm full and round. Like this is a stage look. So like testosterone's in place still. Growth hormone's in place still. These things are going to stay in place all the way to the show. Growth hormone will be all the way in place till I get on stage. Testosterone and injectables, like those still usually come out like 3 days out just because for like the risk of having like a poor shot. Around 212, like that's different too, right? So usually for how we're programming, we're trying to bring testosterone to a point where it doesn't skew the variables anyway. So I already know like the test dosage I'm on doesn't skew my variables. So that doesn't need to be manipulated. around, we're talking about estrogen, aldosterone, things like that. But the growth hormone side is one that didn't stay in for me because it just brings a better physique look. Now I did adjust it 2 weeks out and brought it down a touch. And we're talking like a 20% reduction here. And I didn't notice a huge shift anywhere. So I'm still looking good. So I'm just going to, that's just going to stay in the whole time. It's as simple as that. One wild thing is I'm not on an oral steroid at all. Which again, it's a needs thing. And that's not to say one won't go in, but just at least at this point, usually guys have by 6-8 weeks out, they're already on oral. Then 3 to 4 weeks out, you have a second oral. And then maybe, you know, the peak week, you have three different ones. And so for Atlanta, I was using some oxandrolone to uphold some training performance because that was the assessment of what needed to happen. However, like post-show now, just with the injectables in place and growth hormone, my gym performance just keeps improving. So and my visuals are hard. I'm full. So it's like, what else do I need? Like what, how do I rationalize? Yeah, I'm going to put in like Winstrol right now to get harder. It's like, but I'm already there. So how do you justify it? Like just to make sure you don't leave something on the table. And if it makes you even harder, like what's the risk? Yeah, I could see that, you know, fair enough point. Right. But maybe we do that just 7 days out. Or maybe for me, like last show, I used some Anadrol during my carb load. I don't think it was that impactful, though. I think that just the carbs themselves is the biggest player. So I have a hard time justifying that one again, especially it's like if you did it earlier, maybe you'd start seeing that repercussions of like some water retention around it. So I don't really want to risk that. But I could see, hey, 7 days out, just to make sure we don't leave anything on the table. One of the agents that has a little bit more greater androgenicity to cause some shifting around of maybe bringing a little bit more hardness, it would be low risk. And so, or Halo or something along that lines. But that is the interesting thing is that at this point, I haven't used any orals just because I haven't been able to justify them as gym performance is just improving.
Pause. I think my camera just shut off.
Oh, okay.
Which, if that's the case, he can just zone in on you while you're talking. Because I think it's just a memory card issue. It is.
Jesus. Get your shit together. Yeah, I just format my... all good. Take your time on what you need.
So I'll just have to tell Clinton because it shut off during your talking, so it's not an issue. As far as like the podcast, it shouldn't be at least. All right, orals, touch up, strategy change, good. Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be quite a different aspect of the peak, not having to use orals at all. And, you know, if you need it, you could potentially have it. But, you know, pretty much every peak we're running at some point from like a performance retention standpoint is going to have orals. So it'll be interesting to see if anything goes in. And I'll be surprised if you do, just knowing that Atlanta, you felt like the carbohydrates affected the physique more than the Anadrol, you know. So we're going to have to do a post-show wrap-up so we can make sure we touch on what actually happened. But Is there anything else that you feel is going to be drastically different heading into this show relative to Atlanta in regards to any of the stuff that we haven't touched on? Because, I mean, it's a lot different for Zeke headed in, and it's we kind of touched on a lot of the big players that are going to be changing how you run this, but is there anything else that you would see potentially contributing?
Nothing too drastic. I mean, of course, like my fluid intake, sodium intake, like that hasn't been drastically changed either. Like I still hit about 1.5 gallons per day, and salting meals, 1/4 teaspoon of salt with all my meals. So that can be consistent throughout because I'm not going to some, like that water and sodium amount is fully cover what I'm carb loading with easily. As far as training goes, during that peak week for Atlanta, like I did really drop volume down to pull off fatigue, but likely what for this next one, I'm probably going to just run my same training sessions and just don't train all out earlier in the week. And probably the sessions that are probably 5 days out, I will have some volume tapering done, but that'll be like one aspect that is a little different, just the training side. However, relatively, if you were to scale it back and someone that wasn't experienced in looking at training to be like, this looks kind of the same. And it relatively is, but my current volume, like I said, is already at a much higher spot. And I know I discussed with Luke making some training alterations and areas where maybe I can improve on with having a little bit more delt and tricep volume in the program. And, that's been able to hold steady because we're looking at some movement patterns. We're like, you might have to pull this back once you get close to the show. So I've had a bent over dumbbell row.
Yep.
It was a bent over barbell row. I have a bent over dumbbell row that's been in place and I haven't moved that out. What else do we have? Like the three days of like side delt work. Mm-hmm. All that's been able to just maintain because it just keeps improving without any issue behind it. So, going into peak week, yeah, not huge adjustments there. Just kind of riding the same training plan, but making sure like it is peak week, so I'm not trying to take big risk here.
Yeah.
Keep a couple reps short of failure, and there might be some slight volume drops just as we get close to that 5 day out mark, but that will really be it as far as that goes. Other variables, I don't think there is any really.
No, I think we.
My other variable is I do have a figure pro doing her Paradio Butte the same show, which is no big deal. We're like staying in the same hotel. So it makes like checking in stuff and she's real easy going. So that won't be a problem either. And it just seems like also Chris Mines has put on just a great production in general for Legion. It's very organized. You feel very well informed. And he's done a great job promoting athletes going into a show, which is really cool to see because it builds up just the storyline for everyone in getting more engaged with the athletes that are going to be coming. So just I'm looking forward to what that experience is going to be like being an open bodybuilder because it seems like and nothing to take away from other promoters or anyone else that doesn't, that puts in the 212 division, but it seems like the open just gets more priority for some reason, like just media coverage, more catered to. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I'll have to follow up on, do I feel like I was a more catered athlete being in an open. But either way, at least at this show, it seems like he puts a lot back for the athletes in place and it seems very organized. So it should be pretty low stress. And I love competing. And Atlanta really lit that fire back of how much I truly enjoy being on stage. So I'm just excited to get back out there and do the thing that I love. And keeping that perspective always in place just helps keep a low-stress peak week and have a lot of fun at these shows and try to make good memories because you have to have the thought of, like, in 10 years when you look back at, John doing the Legion, like, what do you want to remember about it? And I don't want to remember myself being stressed and worrying about if I'm getting third or fourth place or how am I going to fare or even if I don't get the placings I want post show being all pissed off and not having that experiences with people that are coming out to support me. So just whatever happens, just have fun, do my thing, and make it the best experience for myself to look back on.
Yeah, you're going to be spoiled with Chris. He runs a killer show just based off the the clients I've had do his shows. Like, just you're going to be spoiled rotten. So I'm jealous. I thought about taking a red eye from Toronto to the show so that I could see you on stage, but I just don't think it's going to happen with how late some of these athletes at Canadian Nationals are going to be. But man, we're all excited for you guys following along. Like, we'll definitely do a post show wrap up. If you guys have any questions, make sure you put them in the comments below. We'll be on there answering questions. Obviously, you've got John's log on J3 University, questions on his Instagram, all of that. Is there anything else you want to add before we kind of hop off?
No, I think that's it. One show at a time. If we'll see what happens and then decide next show plans from there.
All right, guys. Well, until next time, we'll see you later.